Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
We're sitting here. The Bears are 4-6. 4-6. What were they all of last year?
It's 12-4.
Yeah, it's oversimplification to say that if you had a kicker that was reliable, okay, that you'd be 6-4.
But
you could make that argument. And it's not crazy.
If you had a quarterback that was reliable, you could be even better than that. Look, this is what this year is doing to you. It makes you feel that last year wasn't this glorious start of something, this great building towards something. It was kind of a fluke. You had this offense that was working. You had a coach of the year that will never win that award again. Kind of a fluke. Greatest defense ever composed. Kind of a fluke. No injuries.
No injuries, very little adversity, and you had a future Hall of Famer potentially fall into your lap because of a contract dispute in Oakland. You were able to pull off the deal for Khalil Mack. Congratulations on that. But, you know, you have to sustain success or else that one season's not going to be worth the draft picks you gave up to get Khalil Mack. You're going to lose that trade. Wow. You don't want to be in a position to lose that trade. And I never thought that would be possible a year ago.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Good morning, guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
In regards to Mitch, he has a right hip pointer. It happened on the sack at the end of the second quarter. He took a knee by number 90 right into the hip / lower back.
What's the status moving forward? Is he going to be practicing this week? And is he in jeopardy of missing Sunday?
We're working through that. Yep.
But if he's healthy, there's no question he's your starting quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
MVP Mitchell.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Morning, Mully.
How are you, Mr. David?
Happy Tuesday. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. It is a glorious Tuesday in the fine city of Chicago. We are already, it's the 19th of November. I mean, time is ticking away, my friend. We are closing in on the glorious day that is Black Friday.
It's coming. Yeah. Prepare now. Happy birthday, Patrick Kane.
Did you know that that Black Friday is the busiest day of the year for plumbers? Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
I am not making that up. And in fact, in the industry, it's referred to as Brown Friday, not Black Friday. Hard to believe.
I
in the industry.
I didn't realize you were with the plumbing industry.
Yes.
I didn't realize you were so hip to the plumbing terminology.
I try to know what's happening in the world. I just want to know when I need
just
a plumber.
Glossed right over, yeah.
Should I get that early or late, or what is the best day?
I definitely did not expect to hear that at 5 or 6
did not,
in the morning.
No,
well,
no,
it's the 19th and we're closing in. Yeah. I beg your pardon.
Glossed right over my hockey birthday shout out, and then let's talk about plumbing.
Who was your hockey birthday shout out?
I said, happy birthday, Patrick Kane.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's all right.
How old is Kaner? 31?
I'm not sure. He's getting older, but he's also getting
31.
Better.
31 years old.
31 years old. Wow. He's been here a while. He has been here a long time. How much more?
What was he, 19, 18? 18?
How many more birthdays will he celebrate as a member of the Blackhawks?
What? Now you're trading him? Happy birthday? Get out? I think he's got a long time left.
I do
you?
Too. Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the – Kaner, it's very funny – to compare him with Jonathan Toews, who has been through various injuries, has suffered because of his commitment to the team. I mean, you need a guy to stand in front of goal, I'll do it. You need a guy that has to go into the corner, I'll do it. Kaner has avoided a lot of that
stuff. Kane's very savvy in the way he's able to avoid big
hits. Question.
Yeah,
no
he's
question.
So skilled, but I think he'll be here for a while.
Yeah.
Blackhawk
yeah.
for life.
There you go. What about Jonathan Toews?
I would say the same sort of.
Ooh, you really took your time. You did a.
He's been the one that you hear when they talk about potential, you know, rebuilding type moves. I don't think that he would be a guy I would move.
Why would you move anyone? They are on fire.
They're on fire.
They are on fire. They are the hottest team in town, right? I mean, other than your DePaul Blue Dreamers.
It seems like the
Blackhawks have figured out whatever was holding them back, Matt Nagy, and they have solved that problem.
Hawks and DePaul going to cheer up your Chicago sports winter. Maybe.
It's a possibility.
Meanwhile, they're the Bears. Here are the Bears.
Yeah, we'll get to the Bears. Yeah. How about the Bulls?
Oh, gosh. I thought we were trying to cheer everybody up.
What is wrong? You don't enjoy watching the Bulls?
Not last night.
Are you kidding?
For the first half, yes, because I'm watching and I'm thinking, you know, this, I did not expect to see Daniel Gafford do what he's doing.
Yeah.
This is a Daniel Gafford show.
21 Where points has he been? In 20 minutes. You could use him, huh?
Yeah. That'll play.
He's been in the G League, believe it or not, but they called him back up, and he was good. Great energy. They got an interesting team. I really
Who
like
Who does? The G League the G League entry
like
for
the
Chicago
soul
Bulls
and spirit, which I think is important.
I'm getting like tired the of the Bulls. Spirit.
Really?
I'm getting tired of the Bulls, and I decided that last night.
Well, that's
and
shocking to me.
I don't know if it was just like sleep deprived from the night before. Traffic on the way home from Sports Talk Live. I don't know what it was, but I'm watching the Bulls, and I am tired of watching this.
Well,
I was like grumpy.
I beg to differ.
I was like, come on, man.
I found the Bulls wildly entertaining.
They lost.
They are the most entertaining 4-10 team.
Okay.
In the NBA.
Not only did they lose, and we'll get into this.
They lost at the end of the game. They lost 115-105. Yes. Excuse me, 115-101. And
what's the object of basketball? Simply reduced to its simplest form.
Put the ball in the hole?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
James Naismith, you put the ball in the basket. You know what didn't happen for the final 5 minutes and 4 seconds for the Bulls? They failed to put the ball in the basket.
Right. They went through a couple of
How do you do that?
Moments like, David, they don't know how to finish.
I know.
That it's is the
irritating.
Problem. But they're in all these games, and they're entertaining. And I got to be honest with you, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but when Kobe White and Archie Diacono are dealing like that, I am now a huge Archie Diacono fan. Ryan Archie Diacono has wormed his way into my heart.
You and Giannis.
And, he
showed him some respect after the game. Yeah. They asked him about the two jump balls that he was lined up against
Arch against it.
And he said, well, he's the guy in the Bulls that's going to dive on the floor for the ball.
And he did so. That's exactly who he is. I mean, he's unbelievable. The guy takes scrappy to like a new level. Look up the word scrappy. There's a photo of him.
There's his face.
Diving on the floor.
I'm just tired of watching Lauri Markkanen missed shots.
Okay, Lauri Markkanen is not playing well. There's not a shadow of a doubt. Something's going wrong
there. I'm tired of Zach LaVine missing shots.
Okay. I mean, Zach LaVine is didn't have a good game yesterday.
Hold on. I just can't believe that. I'm taking a step back here that you are Mr. Sunshine this morning telling me to stop.
Well, I'm always Mr. Sunshine.
I know, but you're telling me that the Bulls, everything is going to be okay.
I didn't say everything is going to be okay. I said they don't know. They've yet to learn how to finish. But I really enjoy watching Kobe White. I think that he's got a future. I think they've got a lot of young guys. I think there's great enthusiasm with that team. They go crazy when he hits a shot. When he was jacking up shots and putting together his first of the two 5 3-point games, 6-7 he hit in the first game.
Yeah,
Archie Diacono was jumping off the bench and diving at the basket. I mean, That's genuine emotion. That's not a guy putting on a show.
I get it. I like it.
Yeah.
I see more of it.
I think
year was the year for the try-hard Bulls.
No.
Last year was the year for the let's celebrate the enthusiasm they show after three-pointers.
No.
This is the year they need to finish.
This is the year. This is the first year they're all playing together. So they've got to learn each other. I'm telling you, they're going to be better at the end of the year than they are now. Because they're not going to fall apart. They're going to stay together, and they're going to get better. I like what I'm seeing.
Then if they don't change some things and they do make that sort of progress that you're implying, they will be the best 29-win team in basketball.
I would not argue that. I think they're not going to be a team that's going to win.
I expected more. Let me say that. I expected more.
I don't think they're making a playoff run.
Yeah.
They're 4-10, but I like the way they play. I like that second team coming
I don't.
It makes me happy.
I'm tired of them.
Wow. I mean, they're in every game. Have they led in every game?
That's not enough to be in every game. They're 4-10. This is not the year to be 4-10.
Oh, come on. They've not played together. They've got to figure it out. If Lauri Markkanen were playing at the level he was a year ago, they'd be winning some of these games.
That's the biggest problem.
Well, that's the problem. They don't have a star. The two guys you thought were going to be stars haven't emerged.
Something
stars.
About Chicago Stars in their third seasons, and they hit this sort of artificial ceiling.
All right, we'll get to the Bears. So Matt Nagy got up there and explained everything. And Mitch has a – well, he tried to. He talked a lot. Yeah, Mitch has a right hip pointer, and he will start against the Giants if he's healthy. He's the man if he's healthy. And his play, his failure, had nothing to do with pulling him from the game. It was the injury.
He could show up in a body cast at his press conference on Wednesday, and the national narrative would still be that he got benched
he for performance. Also, according to Matt Nagy, they're sticking with Eddie Pinheiro.
Yeah.
And he's and Matt Nagy's going to stick with the play calling. So basically, whatever you've seen from the Bears, you're going to see more of it.
Nothing to see here.
That's right.
No changes in the offing. We're good.
Well, the schedule does turn. The Giants are a team. Now, here's the thing. The Giants, the rule of thumb is that you must absolutely beat the teams you're supposed to beat. So the Bears are favored by a touchdown. Now, the problem is the Giants are probably saying, boy, this is a game we can win.
Opportunity for them. Yes. That's all well and good, but tell me, when you saw him go to the podium yesterday after watching what we did on Sunday, didn't you expect a little bit more of a coach that was dissatisfied with the state of affairs? I don't know. I mean, he's a very, very pleasant. He's very accommodating. I
think
understand.
I think this is what we're looking at, David. This is it. Okay. There's no wiggle room for him. This is it. They have to win out or they're done. You know, Aaron Rodgers said they were 4-6 one year, and he said, you know, I'm seeing things we can put a streak together. They won six straight games, and they went 10-6 and got to the playoffs. That has got to be what Matt Nagy looks at. And that's got to be the attitude he has with the next two games, which are both winnable games. So if you could actually put two games together, the Giants and then at Detroit, if you could actually pull that off two in a row, then maybe you get some momentum. Maybe you get some players back. You know, we're still
in the
waiting
bunker,
on Akeem.
I understand
Hicks.
That mindset. Saying, I get it.
It's not over yet. So Now's not the time to pull the pin. It is now the time to go with the last gasp. So I think that's what we're seeing from him, his last gasp stuff.
The faith in the kicker, I don't understand. The faith in the quarterback, I do, because you don't have much to gain from making a change. But I do think that you could make a change at kicker and you could, you know, justify it. And people would think that you actually believe in accountability out there.
I think that's coming. I think all of it is coming. I always say this to people when they ask me about why are they doing this or why do they do that? And I say to them, listen, they see what you're seeing. They may have different information. They may know about injuries. They may have some more deeper understanding of it. But they see what you're seeing. You can't hide that. And the Bears are 4-6 for a reason. So let's see if they remain 4-6. Let's see if they hit 4-7, then you got to pull that plug. And you got to just let everyone know because – you get to 9-7, and that's not going to get you in the playoffs, certainly not this year. There are too many teams for them to jump. So 10-6 still gets you in the playoffs. Their season, despite everything that everyone believes, and I think we all know, their season technically is still alive.
Technically.
And you got a bad opponent coming in, a team that doesn't win. So you got to keep your eye.
There are a lot of things that are technically possible that are never going to happen.
You got to look at life through a straw.
Technically, the Bulls are still like,
close,
you know,
off. No big picture. It's this tiny little.
Capable
you can't
of
bring in
winning
a kicker
50 games.
That's going to be able to kick at Soldier Field on Sunday. So we'll keep this guy because we're trying to win and maybe we'll get lucky. That's all this is. They see what you see. They know the guy missed kicks. They know they can't trust him. It had nothing to do with the weather or Soldier Field. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think they're in complete denial?
Yeah, I think they're in complete denial about the kicker, and I understand what they're doing with Trubisky.
All right.
I do think that the revelation that he had a hip pointer was more specific and understandable. Right. And there will be a lot of conversation about what did he know and when did he know and all that stuff. But I think that, you know, it's that sort of is to me as it's not important anymore. I think that you had a couple questions about play calling that are still valid. But, you know, it's plausible that the way it went down was the way that they explained it. And moving forward, it's not going to change anything.
No, no, no. It's listen, very little hope, but still hope.
Okay.
Grasping at straws, yeah. But grasping.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Bulls some more.
Okay. Boy. Am I far too positive?
Yes, this morning? For the Bulls. Yes.
All right. Well, with the Bears, too, I was very positive.
It's great. Must have been a great ride in.
Well, I genuinely have a lot of good things going for me in life, and I'm happy about it. We'll discuss it next. Not me, but the sports scene with the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you buy Matt Nagy's explanation of the Mitch Trubisky injury, and will Mitch start on Sunday?
Well, I understood what he was saying, right? And I think the problem, and it's a major problem, it's happened before, they've got a terrible public relations crisis going on. So when Jay Cutler gets injured and they say that he's questionable to return, and then all of the people in the NFL watching, I mean, these are players now, start criticizing Cutler for not being tough enough. That's because they're trying to hide that he wasn't. If Mitch is coming out of the game, tell someone and let the broadcast know. Let everybody know what's going on. What are you doing? Why
Jay
are you trying
Cutler
to?
Cutler is down right now.
There you go. That's how hard that. Is that? Just tell somebody. And I think you put players in a very awkward spot when you're trying to hide information for whatever reason. So I understand why everybody went nuts when all of a sudden Mitch is on the bench and no one knew that there was anything going on with him. I also understand that we kind of jumped to these conclusions. We're waiting for the end of the Mitch Trubisky era, and you thought it happened. You thought the end of an era came in Los Angeles, and everybody overreacted to it because there was no information. So when you have to wait till the next day to come out and fully explain and do the timeline because you were confused in the post game over who knew what when, I just think it's a bad stance for the team. I think Mitch should play against the Giants. I hope he's capable of playing against the Giants. I think a hip pointer can be dealt with enough so that he can play against the Giants. Now, if he's got the, if he needs the Tua hip surgery, that's a different issue altogether.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
If he's screaming in pain and has to go under the knife, but if he's got a hip pointer, I think he's able to play, and I think they need to play him because they need to beat the Giants.
Thinking about this, I'm not going to kill him for the way the information was sort of frozen on the sidelines, because I think that's a really tricky spot to be in. You have a quarterback who probably does have a hip issue. You don't want to broadcast that because you don't want him to be a target. And the way it happened in real time, I think the decision was impulsive almost by Matt Nagy, and it happened quickly. And so Al Michaels did them no favors by saying, for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel. And
but it would have taken a second to tell some PR intern standing on the sideline, hey, call the booth. Their
at
process
that point,
is broken.
At that point, they showed no awareness. At that point, exactly. They showed no savvy. We are talking about the Bears here, though. Their awareness and savvy are not something they lead the league in. And that's always been a problem. Going back to the Cutler example, and yeah, they could have executed that better. I think moving forward, though, it was one of those things where the bigger problem for me was that it was difficult to tell the difference between healthy Mitch Trubisky and injured Mitch Trubisky. You didn't know that he had a hip issue, and it was hard to believe that he did because, you know, you have seen him be inaccurate and have bad footwork when he was 100% healthy.
Right.
So that's hard to buy for people because they don't want us to believe that maybe he did know in the second quarter when he did have that sack. And you can look at the replay and you can see him. You can see everything that they said yesterday at the podium was plausible. Will he start on Sunday? As I said at the beginning, he could show up in a body cast at his press conference on Wednesday, and there would be still people that would believe nationally and maybe locally that he was benched for performance. I think if he's injured, don't push it. And if he doesn't get practice time, I think it's hard to imagine him maybe coming back. He does need this game, though. I think if you want to evaluate him, this is a good opportunity for him to build some confidence, to build some momentum. But I am probably, if I had to say right now, Tuesday morning, will he start Sunday, 70-30, no.
I don't know if Matt Nagy is an NFL head coach. And I sure as hell don't think Mitch Trubisky is an NFL starting quarterback. But I don't think Matt Nagy's a liar. And I don't think Mitch Trubisky is soft or anything like that either. I think that he was injured and he came out of the game. There was obviously a communication breakdown, as you guys alluded to. That's kind of an ongoing theme with this organization, and it has been for quite some time. I think some of the folks up there at Hallis Hall in the communications department maybe need to do their jobs a little bit better. But if Trubisky is healthy, just like Matt Nagy said yesterday, he's the starting quarterback. He's not going to get benched for Chase Daniel. He's not going to get benched for Tyler Bray. Even if the performances continue to be inadequate or even get worse than what we've seen so far, I think that they are so invested in Trubisky that they have to stick it out the rest of this year. Look, they probably realize they're not going anywhere now this season. I mean, they're so far back in the division and in the conference in general. They probably realize that we have to see what we have. They probably already have an inkling of what they have, but you have to be sure. And there's no other way to tell otherwise just by throwing him out there. So if he's not ready to play, you know, this is something we can talk about later on in the week. You know, if he does sit out of practice, we talk about, do you go with Chase Daniel or Tyler Bray on Sunday? I think maybe that's a conversation we can have later in the week. But for now, I'm assuming Mitch will be ready to go on Sunday. And if he's ready to go, he's going to be starting every game the rest of the season.
Okay, I'm going to buy Matt Nagy's explanation about what happened with Trubisky, but I still feel some skepticism about how it went down. You guys already pointed out how does the national TV broadcast not, how are they not alerted? I mean, the Bears radio broadcast, our guy Mark Grody had the information. How is that not disseminated to the national TV broadcast? That's ridiculous. Mully, you said the Bears are having a bad public relations year. Yes. they really are. It just comes across as sloppy. It comes across as another instance where there is bad communication, the bad line of communication within the team. So I'll buy it, but it's just another weird instance, another weird example of the Bears being bad at communication within themselves. And in terms of will Mitch start on Sunday, I think he will. I think he will, as long as this doesn't progress into something being worse than it is. I'm just surprised that there was no indication from looking at Trubisky play that he was slowed down.
You didn't know.
This is the thing that surprises me the most. There's no indication that he was hobbled. Hub yesterday asked Nagy about Chase Daniel warming up. He said nobody saw Chase warming up on the sideline, and he denied that and said he did warm up, but it just is all bizarre. It's strange.
All right, so I just listened to Mark Grody's report, and his report is it doesn't appear that he's injured. He's walking around with a baseball cap on. It appears that he's just not in the game. And here's the other thing. I don't care that NBC doesn't have the story. I mean, Michelle Tafoya, work harder. Okay? I mean, really, you know, you and your eyeliner and your leather jacket from the 80s.
Take it easy.
I mean, work harder, okay? What do you mean? I mean, what?
It's a nice jacket.
Why is it on the Bears to get the information up to...
Because it makes the player look like he's benched if he's actually injured.
They got other things going on. I mean,
but somebody,
you think a PR guy is going to run over to Matt Nagy and say, hey, Matt, what's going on right now?
Yes. No. There has to be somebody assigned on the sidelines. That's to make sure that information is processed in a way that shows that you recognize the importance of perception when you have a nationally televised game.
Nothing to do with eyeliner.
Okay.
Or the jacket.
She could work harder.
Sweet jacket.
Do I buy his Sure, I guess I have to buy it. I don't... It doesn't... If he's healthy, he's going to play. He said that yesterday, so now, you know... They either have to hold him out of practice on purpose. He can't now be called. There's already a skepticism that he's lying.
See, okay? I'm glad you said that.
There's already something. Yes. The pot of water is on the burner, and it's not quite boiling yet, but it's there, right?
If he practices Wednesday and Thursday and starts on Sunday, then all of the stuff he said yesterday is disqualified.
Exactly.
Right. Then he starts. I mean, you know, the other question is, is that the right thing to do at this point? To damage him further in the eyes of not only the media locally, the national media, the rest of the NFL, and most importantly, your season ticket holders and your fan base. I mean, is it better to sit Mitch down, get him healthy? I mean, his shoulder's not right. We can all agree on his non-throwing shoulder's not right. He's not wearing the harness for a look, right? Okay? His hips, not right. Get him right. So if he has to go into the offseason and have two surgeries, let's say, or go into some big rehab after playing 16 games, and then he's not ready for the OTAs and this camp and that camp, like, get him healthy so he can at least try to compete for the job next year. Now, he shouldn't just be handed the job. He should have to compete for the job. So, listen.
I got a call from a guy yesterday, Dustin. You'll love this because you love a good conspiracy theory. And he wanted to know if that's the only way Nagy can get Mitch off the field, that Ryan Pace wants to play his draft pick, and Nagy, in order to make the quarterback switch, has to make up an injury. And I was like, I don't think that's reasonable.
That reflects the perception around the league by some people, though, that there's going to be a growing divide between coach and general manager concerning the quarterback.
That's exactly it. And that's what you got to fight.
Good question, though.
If you are Matt Nagy and your team returns to practice today, how do you establish the goals for the rest of the season? How concerned are you about the growing divide in the locker room between the defense and the offense?
That's an easy one. You show up because you have a game to win, and you have to go 1-0. And it's a cliche, but it's true. And then you talk about, well, if you go 1-0, everything is still in front of you, and you can finish the season 6-0. I don't believe they're capable of doing that, but if you're the head coach of this football team, you've got no other choice. You've got no other choice. And as far as the growing divide, that's always going to be an issue, especially when you give up 17 points on defense and you can't win a game. And the Bears have done that now, I think, 7 times in 10 games, and they're 4-6. You worry about that, but anything any worries would be allayed by showing them the tape of 251-yard touchdown passes or 251-yard passes where they involve defensive breakdowns. One, the Rams helped them, you know, negate that with an illegal formation. The other one was just a blown coverage. Defense can't get cocky because they are not perfect either. So you go business as usual if you're the Bears, and you've got to win one game before you can win six in a row.
Yeah, if you're Matt Nagy, your only goal is to win this week. That is it. Again, you have shortened everything to a point where all you're concerned about is beating the Giants. And the growing divide in the locker room between the defense and the offense, First of all, I'm not sure Matt Nagy would know about it because I'm not sure he follows what's going on with the defense. But
ouch.
But I was joking. But seriously, I think, you know, a lot of people are telling me that I'm an idiot for saying you got to try to be 10-6. 10 wins usually get you in the playoffs. I understand how good the NFC is this year. I understand all the teams that are in front of them. But you desperately try to get your 10 wins in. You try to get a run. Lovey, dare anyone forget, was fired after a 10-win season. 10 wins, and he was fired because they didn't get in the playoffs, and it was playoffs or bust, apparently. Look, I think you try to win this game, and until you're mathematically eliminated, and there have been teams, I think the Bears once beat an 8-8 Seattle team in the playoffs. There are teams that have gotten in with bad records. You don't give up any hope until you know you have a losing season. Then you have to change your goals and start looking toward what you're going to do. But no goals have changed. Nothing. The Bears were not eliminated last week. It feels that way.
It does.
And it feels like they were eliminated a while ago. But that can't be the way you approach what you do. So you go at it as hard. You try to come up with solutions. You try to resolve. The defense has its own issues. The defense has its own problems. They're not playing a perfect game. And you can remind them of that. You know, the danger is when players quit on you. And they claim that hasn't happened yet. And they claim that everybody is still on board. And so you got to kind of buy into that. But it's just about beating the Giants. That's what you show up, and that's what you do.
Yeah, Matt Nagy has described this season as a big learning experience for him, and this is another opportunity for him to grow as a head coach and to learn how to keep this thing from spiraling away. Because just like you said, Mully, I mean, you cannot afford to have one player quit.
Seattle
on you.
Was 7-9 that year, as I'm being corrected
nine.
Already.
Jeez Louise.
So I knew they were bad.
Division's a little bit better this year with San Fran and Seattle in there right now. But
Jimmy G,
9-1. Just saying, you can't afford to let this thing start to spiral away. You have to approach it as every week, just go 1-0. And they're saying all the right things. They said it last week. They're going to be saying it again, I'm sure, all week long. And there is still until you're mathematically eliminated, every athlete believes that they are going to win the very next game that they play. And if you don't have that mentality, then you've already been beaten. So I think everybody in the Bears locker room right now believes that they are going to go 10-6. They believe they're going to run the table. Will they? Probably not. But you have to have that mindset. And thank God they're playing the New York Giants, who are an even more terrible team than they are, which gives you an opportunity to maybe get some sort of glimmer of hope still shining a little bit, get a little bit of momentum going for the home stretch. I am not concerned about the mental aspect of these guys are quitting, because I think that's the thing we praised Matt Nagy for last year, was creating this culture. And he has said that this year, that that's keeping them together. I hope that's the case.
Well, this is a question about Matt Nagy's perspective in all of this. So, yeah, that is the only answer, I believe, is the cliche, the football cliche. We'll take it one week at a time and go 1-0. Go 1-0. You have to. And I think that is the goal, albeit it's not realistic. But, Mully, what you say about winning out is it has to be the goal. That has to be it from the perspective of the head coach of this football team. So that's it. In terms of being concerned about a growing divide in the locker room, I'm not concerned about that. And here's why. Because Eddie Jackson is on this station every week, and one reoccurring theme, and he's been refreshingly honest, and he's been good to have on the station. He's been very open about his support, vocal about his support for Mitch and needing to lift each other up during this these hard times and the struggles that this team is having. So I do think that that is legitimate. I don't think that's lip service. I think the one thing you can say about Matt Nagy, you can call him out on coaching, but I do think that he has created a culture. You know, we heard in the preseason they talk of brotherhood and all of that on this team, and as cheesy as that sounds, I do think that still holds up despite the fact that this team is struggling like it is.
Thanks, brother.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that you have to win. The goal is always to win the game. Now the question becomes, as we go into the second part of this question, which is there a locker room divide? Do the guys in that side of the room, meaning the defense, do they believe that Mitchell Trubisky is the best quarterback in order for them to win the games? And see that? So this is where you get it gets complicated, right? Now, I think we all believe that Mitchell Trubisky is their best option, but I might think the defensive guys might think a guy who's going to just hand off the ball, do what the coach tells him, executes the offense, maybe brings in the playbook a little bit, maybe that's their best option. That's their best hope.
Best option.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're right.
The question is, are you worried about the losing the team in the other side of the locker room, meaning the defense? So I think that's what you got to. You know, they might have to have a closed door players council meeting with Nagy and to find out what these guys think. Because yes, the goal is to win. And Mola, you're right. If they can listen, the first goal is what get to 500, and they can do that with these next two games on paper. Right? These next two games on paper are winnable. And after that, once you're 500, you're still mathematically alive. But I wonder if the defense thinks that somebody other than Mitch is the best quarterback to get them there.
Yeah, you know, I definitely get that question.
Is Eddie Pinheiro a long-term problem or a short-term problem? And if Cody Parkey is the best option on the market, would you look at him?
How, you know, that I think that was designed just to see if I could get your gander up.
Yeah, I tell you.
I gave him a look.
You just looked at me.
Brother. I think it's a short-term problem because I don't think he's the long-term solution. So when you start trying to figure out whether this Eddie Pinheiro thing is something that you're going to have to deal with a long time, I think this is you're just trying to get out of a season right now. So they believe that Eddie Pinheiro on Sunday gives them the best chance to win because they're not going to be able to go through and get anybody up and running and figure out what they have and all the rest of it. They're sticking with him another week, in my opinion. That's all that they're doing. If he has another week like he had last week, then they'll have no choice whatsoever. But I don't think he is a long-term solution, so therefore I think he's a short-term problem. Cody Parkey is not welcome, unfortunately for him, because if he is the best guy on the market, I don't think you can bring him back. I just don't think that it would play in the locker room. I think the coach would not, he would have a really hard time. I'm talking about the offensive coordinator. I don't think he'd like that at all.
Helfrich?
No, I'm talking about the guy that is disguised as head coach, but he's actually an offensive coordinator. Okay, play call.
Play collector?
Yeah, the play collector would not be happy to have Cody Parkey back. So therefore, that's not an option that's on the market. And maybe that's why Eddie Pinheiro's not dumped yet.
I struggle to take anything they say about accountability seriously as long as they stay committed to Eddie Pinheiro. I don't dislike him personally. I don't know him, but I know that he has not been the kicker that they said was going to be. He's not been the kicker that he promised he would be. He's not been a kicker, period. No matter what anybody said about him, he hasn't performed. And in the NFL, it's a bottom line business. And he no longer is Eddie Money. He's a counterfeit kicker. And that's a problem for the Bears. He's a guy that they cannot trust.
Line.
And I just don't know how you can seriously think people are going to believe in anything that you say if you put this guy out here who has cost you not one, but two games. You're 4-6. You're in a box. You're in a box because you picked the wrong kicker. You still have an opportunity with six games left to pick the right one. Try out people at Hallis Hall. Go to Elliott Fry on bended knee. Say, come and help us. We made a mistake. Because you know what? They made a mistake.
He himself, Eddie Money, is a short-term problem. But the kicker situation has been a long-term issue for years now. Eddie Pinheiro is just a symptom of a larger issue here. It's the team's inability to identify a kicker and sign one that's worth a damn.
Who got rid of Robbie Gould? Who was that again?
I think it was the same guy that nobody can find right
Ryan
now.
Ryan Tradeup?
Yeah.
Ryan
Tradeup. Ryan Tradeup. And I'm just wondering why he never solved that thing. Because it seemed to have cost him a playoff game last year. And it's hurting them pretty dramatically, made up words.
Connor Barr.
This season.
Carlos Santos, in the words of John Fox. Parkey. Pinheiro. We can go through this laundry list if we really need to. And I loved Olin yesterday on the program talking about Eddie Pinheiro, you know, telling him basically to ease up, you know, after taking the big victory lap after the Broncos game and, you know, kind of telling him to expect it to get more difficult, and it certainly did for Pinheiro. He himself, short-term problem, but the kicker situation, long-term problem.
Well, I guess it all depends on your perspective. Is the final stretch of six games, is that long-term or short-term to you? Because I think we're stuck with the counterfeit kicker for the rest of the season, unfortunately. I hope that's not the case, and I hope I'm wrong. I think it's a short-term problem because I think you got to get rid of this guy because he is inconsistent, clearly. I mean, that's the one job. You have one job is make the damn kick, and he cannot accomplish that consistently. So I'll say it's a short-term problem, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they get rid of him soon. But it seems to me that Ryan Pace must just look at this as a lost season. I would think they would have cut him yesterday. I honestly would think they would have kicked Eddie Pinheiro, but Ryan Pace must be looking at this like, let's just get through the rest of this season. Let's just get through it.
Pinheiro with the De Niro kick!
Oh, Cody Parkey also is no way. No way, no how.
No.
No. No to know, that question.
Isn't it true that the Secret Service has to deal with counterfeiters? You don't even call the FBI. You need the Secret Service.
You really want to lose the locker room? Then bring back that guy. Okay. I mean, there is no way Cody Parkey can ever even be in the zip code. There should be a restraining order that he is not allowed within 50 miles.
When he lands at O'Hare.
Even if he's on an opponent.
No, then he's welcome. If he's on another team, he's more than welcome because he's going to.
The WGN chopper will track his every move.
That's right. Now, this also goes into the last question. Now, does the offense, does anybody outside of Nagy, Tabor, and Ryan Pace believe that the best option to kick the ball for the Bears is Eddie P. Okay? Because that's another way to lose the locker room, is to bring the... You have to at least have a competition. You have to at least, even if you're going to keep the guy, you have to at least put on the spectacle that you're going to make the temperature in Eddie Pinheiro's room a little bit hotter. His seat needs to be hotter. He can't just be given this opportunity to do this. So I would bring in a kicker. But no, Cody Parkey needs to have a restraining order from Hallis Hall.
If there's any other football questions, I'd be happy to answer those. I've said pretty much what I'm going to say.
What did you think when Tua Tagovailoa, went down with a dislocated hip on Saturday? What is more likely, he stays in school another year or he falls to the Bears in the second round of the draft? Is there any way he isn't a first-round pick if he comes out next April?
All right, we'll zip through these, but I think that when I watched Tua again yesterday, that play was disturbing. You hate to see any college athlete go down like that. He looked like he was in pain. It's bad for college football. You're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in Alabama history, one of the best college football quarterbacks in the last generation to play, and it's just too bad to see. Take out an insurance policy. I wouldn't be surprised if he does come back to Alabama, protect himself against another injury, because I don't know that going into the draft makes a lot of sense. There's going to be a lot of teams that hold this durability question against him. He will drop if you're the Bears in the second round. If he's there, you have to really consider that, because this is a generational talent.
If you
surround him with the protection in the right situation, and once he gets healthy again, he's going to be dynamic. I don't think right now, though, I don't think he's a first rounder because of the injury concerns coming off a hip injury that's serious. So not sure about that. It's a shame.
I think he's a first rounder without a shadow of a doubt. And if I were him, I would come out. I don't think he's the number one pick. Yeah, and maybe he wasn't going to be anyway, but the whole tanking for Tua thing went through my head when I saw him get hurt. A lot of things went through my head. The whole idea of players trying to cut deals, you know, make money in college, and that some of the new laws coming in, and that that would not benefit him. I think he should come out. The guy's had two surgeries, right? He rushed back from an ankle because he's trying to win a national championship yep. for Alabama. And the thinking was, well, that you lost to LSU. Why are you playing him against these guys? Pull him out of the game. He's not quite healthy yet. And then this happens. So if I'm him, I would go professional. I'd get the hell out of college and get into the place where you make money. This is going to sound like a really idiotic statement, but let me make it anyway because that's kind of what I do here. This could be the best thing that ever happened to the guy. And by that, I simply mean because of the injury, he comes into the NFL. He doesn't wind up in Cincinnati. He's not taken by a team that wants him to be the savior. He goes later in the first round. He goes to a team that if you're in the middle or the last part of the first round, you're usually pretty damn good the way the draft is set up, right? So he goes to a better situation. He doesn't play immediately because maybe they have a guy or maybe it's a and he gets to heal and learn, and then he gets to be the generational talent you're talking about.
You know who would agree with that? Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith's a great example. You know, gets injured at Notre Dame, has a horrible injury. Now, it's different with a linebacker and a quarterback. I understand that. But he gets drafted in the first round, right? Was it the second round? First round, right? And goes to Dallas and now is a fantastic star, right? Now his career is where you wanted it to be. And guess what? You know, when you come into the league, you get a rookie salary. So I get it. The first picks get more money. But you want to start making money in the NFL? It's your second contract. It's your third contract. So a guy like Tua can come into the league, go to a team that is halfway decent, get time to recover, and then make a huge impact and get paid.
I felt bad when he got injured. You never want to see anybody, you know, potentially really serious injury there, especially, you know, Tua seems like a good kid. I still think he's coming out, though. I still think he's a first rounder easily. He's already shown so much that even with the injury concerns, he's going in the first round.
Yeah, I also hated to see Tua go down, but this guy is a first rounder. Sure, his position his draft position will drop because of the injury, but I still think he's a first rounder for sure.
If he's there, he's going to get picked in the first round. I do like your thinking, though, Mully. I think that makes a lot of sense that this could, in the big picture, be the best thing for him personally and professionally.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
Is the Bulls' second unit better than their starters, and is it a coup for the front office or an indictment of the coaching staff that rookie Daniel Gafford can have 21 points in 20 minutes after essentially being ignored before Monday?
Oh, I think the NBA is a meritocracy, and Daniel Gafford is not considered a guy that can score, and Lauri Markkanen is considered a guy who can score. Now, he's not scoring, and he's not playing well, but if you looked at the two players, you would say you'd rather have Lauri Markkanen, so I understand why he wasn't here, but unfortunately, it's a meritocracy, so Lauri better get his arse in gear, or you have a guy that has got great enthusiasm and can play defense and is going to work his rear end off, and he might be a better option. So it's good that Gafford did something. It's nice to see, but it's really more of an indictment on the guy that is starting ahead of him.
And the second unit, when they left the game in the fourth quarter, it was a different game.
Love the second
unit. And the starters didn't get it done, and the stars of this team, the leading players, that as Zach LaVine referred to him and Lauri Markkanen after the game, did not get it done. You can't get outscored for the final 5 minutes, expect to be anybody, let alone the Bucks. As for Daniel Gafford, yeah, where has he been? He's a great sub for Wendell Carter on the second unit. I don't know why they tried him in the G League. This is energy. This is offense. He had six dunks. Six!
I mean, they're 4-10 right now. They're terrible. So if Daniel Gafford can give you a spark, give you anything, you got to throw him back out there and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle. But, you know, every time Jim Boylan opens his mouth or does anything, it's pretty much an indictment on him and the people that hired him.
The Bulls' second unit is not better than their starters. The starters have to get it together and wake the hell up. In terms of Daniel Gafford, I mean, that's great. It was a great showing by him, but you can't expect 21 points in 20 minutes every game.
Oh,
the
I do.
The league is going to adjust now that he's, you know, there's some tape on him out there.
I don't know that they need to have any tape. This is a guy who just played his rear end off in one night and had a nice night. The second team's not better than the first team, but the first team's not very good either.
That's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mullion Hall on the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.